It is 7 p.m. in Washington and midnight in Rabat. This is Press TV's World News. Well, Morocco's king has announced major amendments to the country's constitution. Analysts say the development could turn Morocco into a constitutional monarchy. In a televised speech, King Mohammed said the issues of human rights and freedom of speech will be preserved in the new constitution. His reformed constitution will also hold officials accountable for their actions and shift some powers from him to the government. The king, however, will still keep his grip on power as the head of state. This comes as pro-reform activists remain skeptical about the announcement. They say the changes will not significantly decrease the powers of the country's 400-year-old monarchy. The new constitution will be put to a referendum in the first week of July. Earlier, we were joined by Douglas de Groot from the Executive Intelligence Review in Washington. We asked him if he thinks the Moroccan king's reform promises are going to be realized.
Small step of some kind. He's trying to alleviate some of the pressures, obviously. He announced this when in the March 9 he said there would be changes, and now he's come forward with some changes, but he's still in charge of the army and so on. So there's going to be opposition from within about this move. Others are in the opposition parties may want to give him a chance. I think what will determine whether it works or not is largely what happens in the world in terms of the collapsing monetary system now and the hyperinflation that is developing worldwide, which creates tremendous pressures on populations through food costs and so on. When prices start shooting up like this, resulting from speculative interests operating, then people are going to be very, very upset, and it's going to be more difficult to make moderate reforms work.
Thousands of anti-regime protesters have held fresh rallies in Bahrain, Sitra. The rally was organized by the largest opposition group, Al-Wifaq. The police had set up checkpoints prior to the rally. Al-Wifaq leader, cleric Sheikh Ali Salman, told the protesters that the opposition was not against dialogue. He also said that meaningful dialogue required officials who actually believed in its process. Meanwhile, Bahrain's top cleric, Sheikh Isa Qasim, reiterated that the regime could not expect dialogue with the opposition while it continued its crackdown. He told worshippers that the authorities must free political detainees. His comments are the latest sign that opposition leaders could ignore appeals by Bahrain's rulers for talks next month. Other protests took place across the small Persian Gulf Sheikhdom in the city of Dirza. Police were forced to take down balloons put up by the protesters that carried anti-regime slogans. A group of international lawyers have filed a lawsuit against the Bahraini regime over its brutal crackdown on protesters. Britain has also come under fire for supplying weapons to Manama that are used against Bahraini people.
We came here as the 1st of April. It was the first time we put a case before this court about the situation in Bahrain. But at that time, we don't have too much documents. We don't have too much evidence. But we, as an organization, International Coalition Against Impunity Hukuk, we found that we should put a case before this case to start investigations about what is happening in Bahrain.
In Yemen, tens of thousands of anti-government demonstrators have poured onto the streets in the city of Sa'ada to protest against U.S. interference in their country. Anti-government protesters also took to the streets in other cities after Friday prayers, calling for formation of an interim ruling council. They also demand quick trials for Saleh and his regime members on charges of killing hundreds of protesters. Acting President Abdurrabbu Mansour Hadi has so far refused to form a transitional council. In Egypt, anti-Israeli protesters have taken to the streets to call for an end to the country's peace treaty with Israel. The rally was organized by a group calling itself Egypt's Youth. Protesters burned the Israeli flag and called on Egyptian authorities to sever ties with Israel. Huge anti-Israeli rallies have been held in Cairo over the past few weeks. A recent opinion poll carried out by the U.S.-based Pew Research Center shows most Egyptians oppose the peace treaty signed between their country and Israel in 1979. A Gallup poll shows only 17% of Americans approve of the way Congress is handling its job. That's just 4 points higher than the all-time low of 13% measured in December of 2010. The poll was conducted in the midst of an internet sex scandal involving U.S. Congressman Anthony Weiner. However, the poor approval rating is seen as a reflection that the American public is unhappy about how things are going in the U.S. Well, for more on that story, we're joined now by Brent Badowski, who's the columnist with The Hill newspaper, joining us now via satellite from Washington. Mr. Badowski, as always, thank you for joining our broadcast. Now, between sex scandals and, more importantly, what one can only call incompetency, how bad are things looking for Congress when even the president ignored them when going to war in Libya?
Well, let me put it this way. Some of us are trying to find the 17% who actually approve of what they're doing, because I don't know anybody. It's a problem, number one, of the economy. According to our government, the real jobless rate for Americans is 15.9%. It's actually higher than that. And when you add the husbands and the wives of the jobless, the children, sons and daughters of the jobless, you're really talking about close to 30% of America suffering direct pain from joblessness. Number two, oil prices, which went down today in the last couple of days, but gasoline prices and oil prices are way up at a time when wages are not going up, even for those people who are working. Food prices are going up dramatically. There's a lot too much speculation in the American economy from Wall Street. There's a sense that things are unfair, things are wrong. People are hurting. People are feeling pain. Everybody's numbers are down. Everybody's favorable rating is down. Congress is at its usual disastrous level and going down. President Obama's numbers have gone down. The Republican numbers have gone down as well. They're all in a state where the American people are angry at all of them. And finally, that is the context of wasting 3 weeks of our time with a sex scandal from an incompetent and dishonest congressman, which just wasted everybody's time, made Congress look stupid, when what the public wants, what the American people want here is jobs, jobs, jobs.
Right, let's talk about redemption now. On the issue of Libya, does Congress, do you think, have the opportunity to, in uniting themselves against Obama, redeem themselves in the eyes of Americans?
Well, I think there will be an agreement of some kind where the president will have to ultimately get some kind of approval from Congress. I don't see any way around that. The legal arguments, and I'm an international lawyer, are fairly close. The political arguments are not close. The president, whatever he's going to do, needs to bring Congress in and get some kind of an agreement. And while they're resisting right now, I predict they probably will reach that agreement. And the other point is there's a limited tolerance of the American people for endlessly being in Afghanistan, endlessly being in Libya, endlessly being in Iraq. There will have to be some decisions made, especially about Afghanistan, to withdraw more troops than people are currently thinking, just to restore some balance with the American people that want jobs more than wars. That doesn't mean we withdraw from everything, but I think you're going to have some withdrawal from Afghanistan, some agreement and limitations about Libya, to answer your question directly. This cannot go on indefinitely.
Right now, between health care, as you mentioned, unemployment as well, et cetera, what can Congress be doing better at in order to win back the people?
Well, what I have written several columns, three in a row, they need to come up with proposals for jobs. Put people to work building our bridges, our roads, our schools, our ports that are falling apart and breaking down. Create a tax cut for companies, especially small companies, not the big giants, that will hire workers right now to bring back employment. Now, still in Washington, I'm the rebel and I'm the outlaw right now. I've been writing these columns and writing private memos to some of the highest level people in the American government now for a long time. They have to do more to create jobs. They have to fight for jobs in Congress. They have to do more to create jobs. They can't sit by doing nothing. And we can't spend our time on scandals when we should be spending our time creating jobs. So the thing they need to do in Congress, Democrats and Republicans, and what President Obama needs to do, and I don't believe he has done enough either, is to create jobs in the places where jobs are created, which are the small companies, the Main Street companies, the old manufacturing companies that make things, not the global conglomerates that send jobs away or lay off people just to save money to increase their earnings so they can make more profit.
All right, we'll have to leave it there for now. That was Brent Budowski, columnist with The Hill newspaper, joining us via satellite from Washington. Mr. Budowski, as always, we do appreciate your insight here at Press TV. To Spain now, where the public debt in the first quarter of 2011 has hit its highest level in 13 years. The Bank of Spain figures show the country's accumulated public debt amounted to $970 billion at the end of March. This is equal to more than 63% of Spain's annual gross domestic product, the GDP. Meanwhile, unemployment has gone over 21% in the first quarter, the highest rate of joblessness in the industrialized world. The latest figures come against the backdrop of recent protests against the Spanish political establishment. The protesters recently held days of rallies against their country's political system, calling for fundamental political and economic reforms. You're watching the World News here on Press TV. A quick reminder of our top stories this hour. The King of Morocco announces reforms aimed at democratizing the country's constitution. In Bahrain, thousands of people hold anti-regime protests. Tens of thousands in Yemen protest against the U.S. interference in their country. And in Spain, public debt hits the highest level in 13 years in the first quarter.